there's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Pablo Torre, back in the co-host chair again, which means I must have done something right.
Tony Kornheiser, and you know, Pablo, the greatest ability is availability. And what you've done right is you're available.
Yeah. I am here. Oh, look. I am early. Always early for you.
You're my first choice. You're when Mike doesn't want to do the show, you're my first choice all the time.
What a bench to warm. What a bench.
Yeah. Well, it's a 21-year bench. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. Will Von is off today, so here to pick up his slack is our great friend, the host of the ESPN Daily podcast, my godson and my grandson, Mr. Pablo Torre. That could have been stronger.
Yeah.
And we begin today with disappointing news from Wimbledon, where Rafael Nadal has withdrawn from tomorrow's semifinal match against Nick Kyrgios. Nadal is going for the calendar Grand Slam, but has been hampered by what's reported to be a 7-millimeter tear in his abdomen. The pain was bad enough in yesterday's win over American Taylor Fritz that Nadal's own father was urging him to retire from the match. Nadal practiced today, but said the injury prevented him from serving effectively. Pablo, what are your thoughts on Nadal's decision?
Tony, my first thought is that pain is probably not sufficient to describe what he's actually feeling right now. Because this is Rafa Nadal. I mean, he had a broken rib before the French Open. During the French Open, was dealing with his rare degenerative foot condition, which required all sorts of painkillers, won the French Open, and now he has this thing that's, yes, 7 millimeters or so, but it's clearly a tipping point beyond suffering, right? Because he has the most tolerance for pain and suffering of anybody in the sport, basically, Tony. So my first thought is, my God, this must be agony.
So it's interesting. My first thought was to go to the Grand Slam, which is so rarely ever done. It's winning all four majors in the same year. The last man to do this may have been Rod Laver. I mean, it's so long ago that he's already got the Australian and he's already got the French, and he's unlikely to win on grass. It's not his best surface, but he's won Wimbledon before, and he's in the semifinals. So the amount of pain to prevent him from trying from immortality must be amazing. And my second thought is about Novak Djokovic, because Novak Djokovic, I believe, will certainly get to the final. And now he's going to have a much easier match against Kyrgios than he would against Nadal, and certainly far less dramatic. I mean, nobody likes Kyrgios, so people will be cheering for Djokovic. If Nadal was out there, as we have seen, everybody in the stadium, everybody everywhere would have been cheering for Nadal. Those were my first two thoughts in order. And the other part is, this a big deal, Pablo, because Nadal is two majors up right now on Djokovic. If he had beaten him here, then it's up three, and I don't think Djokovic ever catches him. But if Djokovic, who's not going to play in the U.S. Open because of vaccination rules, if he gets this one, then he's only one down, and then I think he passes him. I do.
Yeah, this does feel like Nadal also conserving himself for the U.S. Open, trying to get that major, which Djokovic will not be at. It also feels like, if we may spare a thought, Tony, we probably should, for, you know, the guy that Nadal might have withdrawn against, retired against in that second set, right, yesterday? Like, Nadal, Tony, it was his dad, it was his sister, all saying, please stop playing. And if he had taken that advice, right, we would have gotten a match, Fritz, right, against Kyrgios. And now instead we get, as you put it, the most hated final matchup, we presume, between Djokovic and Kyrgios. Yes.
I'll just say this, and you enumerated what's gone wrong with Nadal before. He's breaking down. Like, it's possible we're not going to see him again. This strikes me, this kind of injury, it's repetitive. It's like a hamstring. He's had it before, and it's come back. We may be seeing the last of him. I hope not. We may be. We move now to Shohei Ohtani, having himself another fabulous performance. He pitched 7 innings last night, gave up 2 hits, 1 unearned run, struck out 10 Marlins. Ohtani is now 5-0 in his last five starts with a microscopic ERA of 0.27. He also had a two-run single, scored a run as the Angels finally won after four straight losses. Pablo, should Ohtani be the favorite for a second straight AL MVP?
Of course he should, Tony. And you know that I am a Yankee homer, right? Aaron Judge may have 60 home runs. The Yankees might win 115 games. And yet still, I believe that Shohei Ohtani must be the MVP favorite. And I say that he must be the MVP favorite because he's making a mockery of the term valuable. Tony, if you have an OPS since like 4 weeks ago that is three times higher than the allowed OPS of the batters that you are facing as a pitcher, yeah, you're probably the MVP. Like, what he does, Babe Ruth, we talk about Babe Ruth all the time as the analog for this. Babe Ruth never pitched at an all-star level and hit at an all-star level simultaneously. Shohei Ohtani is proving that this is just who he is now. And I don't know how he could possibly not give it to that guy.
Okay, so I think that we could probably agree, since you've mentioned Aaron Judge, we could add Yordan Alvarez, and we could say these are the primary contenders for MVP as opposed to Ohtani. That seems fair to me. And the case that I would make for either of them, and they have wonderful numbers. I'll just give you the numbers at the moment.
Lots of numbers.
Judge has 30 homers and 64 RBI now. Alvarez hit one today. He's got 26 homers, 59 RBI, and he's batting .313. And Pablo, the teams that they play for, the Yankees and the Astros, are number one and two in all of baseball. So I think you can honestly make the case that they may be more valuable to their teams because their teams are winning. As great as Ohtani is, he is not winning. But I will come back to this other question, which is, do they pitch? Because he pitches as well
as
hits. And he gives them a greater chance to win. So if you ask me, what does Judge have to do for me to win? I say he has to hit 60. To me, 60 steroid-free is Mount Everest. What does Alvarez have to do? He has to win the Triple Crown the way that Vlad Guerrero Jr. almost won it last year. And at the moment, I believe he's something like seventh in batting, second in homers, and third in RBI.
He's really good.
But failing that, I give it to Ohtani.
Yeah, Tony, to me, what those guys have to do is throw an unhittable splitter that allows them to be better the second and third time through the batting order from atop the mound in ways that we don't see from pitchers in general. Ohtani is special as a pitcher, Tony. Like the way that his stuff works, the way that he strategizes, right? When they see him the second, third time, he should be worse. He gets better. We saw that in this game. To me, it's not a question because those guys simply cannot do that on the level of basic categorization of what the job is that they do. But
by the way, he also stole 10 bases so far.
Stealing bases, also being, a guy who is trapped on the Angels, which he can't single-handedly save. But the NBA, Tony, is where Zion Williamson and Rudy Gobert both met the media yesterday afternoon. Speaking of individuals trying to save teams, Zion said that he's thrilled to be in New Orleans, quote, "I'm not going to let the Pelicans down. I'm not going to let my family down. I'm not going to let the city down. And most importantly, I'm not going to let myself down," end quote. Minnesota, meanwhile, saw Rudy Gobert say that his goal is to win a championship. So are you more bullish about Zion and the Pelicans or Rudy Gobert and the T-Wolves?
So bullish is a relative term because as I sit here right now, I am probably more bullish on the Warriors, more bullish on the Nuggets, more bullish on the Mavericks, more bullish on the Suns, even more bullish on the Clippers than I am either of these two teams. And let me just say, for those people who remember what I say on this show, I was the idiot who said that Zion Williamson hated New Orleans and would never resign. So clearly I was wrong. Okay, so let me get to the issue.
Noted.
Zion has some very good help around him. He's got C.J. McCollum and Brandon Ingram. But again, he's played, can I get the numbers correct here? 85 of 226 games in New Orleans. So I'm sorry, I don't trust that. Rudy Gobert has a very specific skill. He plays defense. That's important. When you talk about Zion Williamson, you're talking about dreams. When you talk about Rudy Gobert, you're talking about defense. Minnesota doesn't need offense. They were number one in the NBA in offense last year. They need exactly what Rudy Gobert supplies. And so I am more bullish on Minnesota, yes.
So I think Minnesota, though, is still dreaming of a Rudy Gobert who won't get played off the floor in the playoffs, Tony, in the fourth quarter, because he is so good defensively, but so problematic as a fit offensively. That's still an issue in terms of where Rudy Gobert fits into like an NBA Finals hypothetical. But to me, the reason why I like the Pelicans in this question is because the Pelicans are trying to do a rare thing with credibility. They're trying to be a team that can win in the short term and in the long term. The T-Wolves, Tony, they're very clearly all about the present tense. They have an ownership group that is new. They have a general manager that is new. And my question for them is, when you trade four first-rounders and reset the market for a star like Rudy Gobert, a one-way star arguably like Rudy Gobert, is that because you have knowledge that no one else does? Or is that because you are desperate to win some sort of a press conference? And to me, that's what they're mortgaging. They're mortgaging the future for the press conference. New Orleans has a foundation. They have a GM. They have a roster that can play well into the future as well as right now.
I would take a ring if I could get a ring. I think you always play to win now. I think in every sport, you should play to win now,
that's
unless you don't have the personnel to do that. I'll tell you what's interesting is what Brian Windhorst keeps talking about, that Kevin Durant may find himself in a place like New Orleans because they got a lot of draft choices. They have a Durant-like player in Ingram.
Durant.
And they've
yes.
got a coach, Willie Green, who was close with Durant, you know, when they were both with the Warriors.
Golden State.
So if you tell me Durant's going there, I'm more bullish on them, obviously. Let's take a break. Coming up, will Baker Mayfield resurrect his career in Carolina?
And which Chet Holmgren should we prepare to see in this regular season?
I feel bad for Nadal. I feel bad for
you
Nadal.
You love him.
To have to
and
drop
I feel bad
out.
For him too. I know. So close. So close.
Pardon the interruption is presented by Corona Extra. Find the fine life. Live la vida maspina. Part of happy hour.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You are watching Pardon the Interruption, presented by Corona Extra, part of Happy Hour.
It's time for toss-up. Two men enter, one man leaves, finishes the show, then writes the 57th entry in his diary about how much he likes working with Pablo. And that's true. What's first?
Toss-up, more likely to resurrect his career with his new team this season, Baker Mayfield or Carson Wentz?
So I want to say Wentz because I watch the Washington football team. I think McLaurin is a big-time receiver. But honestly, this is Wentz's third team in 3 years. He appears to be on a downhill trajectory. Frank Reich was supposed to save him in Indianapolis, and he had good stats. He had 27 touchdowns and only 7 interceptions. But they got rid of him, Pablo. It's impossible to read that any other way than that they know something, and that something isn't good. So I will say Baker Mayfield, who I like, as you pointed out yesterday, because of the commercials that he does. And he's going to a team with an offensive coach. And Wentz is going to a team with a defensive coach.
But to me, Tony, the question to ask here is which quarterback is going to get more patience? Who's going to have a longer leash? And to me, Baker Mayfield, as much as I have confidence in him relative to what he was in Cleveland, he got traded for a conditional fifth rounder, right? To me, he feels disposable. He's in a quarterback's room with Sam Darnold and Matt Corral, a rookie, you know, a guy who they clearly like on some level. And to me, they have a coach who might get fired. So that coach, Matt Rhule, may say, if Mayfield's struggling early, give us the next guy. Whereas in Carson Wentz, you know, the sunk cost fallacy is not a great thing to hang your hat on. But the fact is they traded 2/3 and swapped a second for him. Compared to Baker Mayfield on price tag, and given that Ron Rivera is not going anywhere, to me, I think Carson Wentz is going to get a longer leash.
I agree completely with everything that you've said, but they got rid of him in Indianapolis so quickly. That's such a bad sign. What's next?
No confidence.
Toss up. Better sign of things to come. Chet Holmgren's first summer league game or his second summer league game?
Let me be clear about this. I think Chet Holmgren's really talented. Again, he made threes. Again, he got blocks. He did those things. But Kenny Lofton Jr. bumped him and pushed him backwards and then scored at the rim, initiated contact, and move him around. And Kenny Lofton Jr. is not the son of the football player. He's the
Correct.
Son of a mailman, not the mailman, not Karl Malone. Kenny Lofton Jr. is 6'7", 280. The other
280.
Kid is 190. 6'7", 280, pushed him around, and he's an undrafted free agent. So, Pablo, if Kenny Lofton Jr. can do that to him, what is a starting center in the actual NBA going to be able to do to him? He weighs 190. It's scary.
So the best defense for Chet Holmgren here is that Kenny Lofton Jr. should have been drafted. Kenny Lofton Jr. was a good small college player.
Where,
Kenny Lofton
one?
Jr. Yeah, well, hold on. I mean, what we should establish here is that Kenny Lofton Jr. played in the Under-19 World Cup with Chet Holmgren against France in the final championship game, a team that had other top five picks on it, and he was the best player on the floor in the fourth quarter. He was bullying this new age, as we called him yesterday, skyscraper, who is thin but long and alien-like and promising. Kenny Lofton Jr., Tony, might be the solution to the NBA's problem in terms of genre. What do you need against the tall and thin? You need the broad and heavy. And to me, this was a
guy who
should be on a roster. 280. 280, yes.
Let me tell you something. If I'm Oklahoma City, I'm trading for that guy right now. I want him with Holmgren so that he can back him down and score at the rim. That's it. Let's take one last break. Still to come, why are the Stanley Cup champs reportedly saying goodbye to their starting goalie? Why?
And new Lakers coach Darvin Ham, Tony, says he has a plan for Russell Westbrook, so should we trust that process?
How do you know so much about Kenny Lofton Jr.? How do you know that?
I watched him. I watched that against Victor Wembanyama, the number one overall pick next year. He dominated him in the fourth quarter. And that's like the next LeBron.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg. And ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Pardon the Interruption is presented by Corona Extra. Find the fine life. Live la vida maspina. Part of Happy Hour.
Happy time, people. Happy 53rd birthday, Joe Sakic. The Hall of Fame center played 20 seasons in the NHL. Sakic came up with the Quebec Nordiques and spent his first 7 seasons there. Then Sakic went to Colorado, where he played the rest of his career. Sakic was on 2 Stanley Cup winners in Colorado, the same Avalanche teams that earned Patrick Roy 2 more rings that he could say were stuffed in his ears. In 2001, Sakic was the MVP of the league. after scoring 54 goals and adding 64 assists. Now Sakic is the general manager in Colorado, and just last month, Colorado won the Stanley Cup. Sakic is following the path set by, among others, Jerry West with the Lakers and John Elway with the Broncos, winning championships for the same teams as a player and as an executive.
Tony, this is the dragon that Michael Jordan is chasing. You know, an MVP, one of the greatest of all time, who also wants to be in control. And Danny Ainge has done it. Joe Dumars has done it. Steve Yzerman has done it. But he has not. And that must be so frustrating, because you look at a guy like Joe Sakic and you're like, man, why can't that be me?
A not-so-happy anniversary, Andre Dawson. On this day 35 years ago, the future Hall of Famer was drilled just above the left side of his mouth by a pitch from Padres starter Eric Schau. The gash required 21 stitches to close, and the Cubs believe that Schau beamed Dawson because of a home run Dawson hit off him earlier in the season and another one earlier in this game. The bench is cleared, and Rick Sutcliffe charged at Schau. The rest of the story is that the Cubs' starter that day was a struggling rookie named Greg Maddux, who was told he needed to win this game or he would be sent down. After being tossed, Sutcliffe told Maddux, "You're winning the game. Get through the fifth inning before you ever think of retaliating." But Maddux had none of that. He drilled Padres catcher Benito Santiago in the fourth and was ejected immediately. Maddux got a no decision and a trip to the minors. We all know Maddux made it back up, but after that, Dawson never missed a game that Maddux pitched.
Tony, I could sing the praises of Greg Maddux. I just want to refer back to the name you mentioned before. This is Benito Santiago, the same Benito Santiago who I would presumably watch for the next, like, 18 years. This happened in, like, 86. That dude was playing in 05. That is amazing. Benito Santiago, one and the same.
Played a long time. Happy trails to Darcy Kemper. TSN reports that the starting goalie for the Stanley Cup champion Avalanche is out and headed for free agency. Kemper's 32. He went 37-12-4 in the regular season and 10-4 in the playoffs. He allowed just over 2.5 goals per game throughout. He got pulled in game 3 of the final, but bounced back to outplay Andrei Vasilevskiy in the game 6 clincher. To fill Kemper's slot, the Avalanche traded for 26-year-old Alexander Georgiev of the Rangers, who gave up close to 3 goals per game in his 33 appearances with the Blue Shirts last season. Georgiev backed up Vezina Trophy winner Igor Shesterkin, and stop giving me these names.
This is a spelling bee type run from you, Tony, in this show. I just want to point out that this is the unromantic aspect of winning a championship, right? Specifically in the NHL. Congratulations. Thank you so much for your service. And also, now you're too expensive for us to contend again next year. So we're just going to let you go. Sorry, but, you know, we appreciate you.
That is Wilbon's position completely on hockey. I mean, he attaches it to the Blackhawks, of course, who he loves. But he says in hockey that you can't keep the team around. The costs are such you cannot do it. So maybe Wilbon's right about that one. Let us go to the big finish. Anz Jabeur and Elena Rybakina will face each other in the Wimbledon women's final. Are you intrigued by that? How is my pronunciation?
Excellent, A, but B, we're a big Rybakina household because my college freshman year roommate was from Kazakhstan. Kwanish Baturbekov. So, yeah, we're rooting for her. Lakers coach Darvin Ham tells Anscape, meanwhile, that he's a plan for Russell Westbrook. That includes starting. Are you surprised?
Am I on the moon here? This guy is a Hall of Fame player. He gets triple-doubles all the time. Adjust to him. Are you people crazy? Paolo Banchero against Jabari Smith in Summer League tonight. I'll bet you'll watch, and I'll bet you're excited.
You're right, honestly, on both of those bets. And I just laugh at how the Orlando Magic must be feeling watching Chet Holmgren get discussed on PTI 2 days in a row. But the Grizzlies have signed guard John Conchar to a 3-year, $19 million contract extension. Tony, tell us about that guy.
I know nothing about him. The prompter says he was undrafted out of Purdue Fort Wayne and he averaged 4.8 points per game off the bench last year. John Konkak, I know, not this guy. Last one. NHL draft tonight. Who goes number one to the Canadiens?
Shane Wright is the name that I have learned. That's the name that I am saying.
We're out of time. We will try and do better the next time. And I'm Tony Kornheiser.
And I'm Pablo Torre. Thank you so much for watching. And please check out ESPN Daily, wherever you get the, you know, really good podcasts. And now here's SportsCenter.
What? I don't have a podcast? What? I'm chopped liver? Really?
It's fine. It's a good one.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.